Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
I got the magic in me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, in case you missed it because you were so entrenched in the doubleheader last night on TNT, the Tennessee Titans still aren't for real.
No. Hugo Titan wants to know what's wrong with them. Mariota.
Well, first, start with Marcus Mariota, who right from the get-go turned it over twice.
Did you notice last night, maybe it was just me, I pick up on weird stuff like that, but...
You?
Is it Tirico?
Mike Tirico, yep.
He would say Mariota. He would really get the T at the end.
And there then, is no T at the end.
Yeah, there is.
At T-O.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry, Mariota. He would say Mariota. Yeah. He would pronounce the T really well.
Okay.
And then, is it Collinsworth? Yep. That's his partner. He would be like, Mariota, like we do. But... for some reason, Tirico, and maybe
Mariota.
It was just, yeah, he would be like, Mariota.
Huh.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. I know. I picked up on that. And I thought, well, that's good. He's Tirico. If anyone's saying it right and getting it correct, it's Tirico. Because he is top notch. And so I thought about it. Probably what happened is he was talking to Marcus Mariota, and he was like, hey, man, it's really Mariota because the Hawaii and the way you pronounce it. And he probably got it right, and we're all idiots.
I'm sure he asked, because one of the smart things that broadcasters do, and, you know, you just ask in the middle of an interview or in a shoot around or whenever you get the guy aside, look, I don't want to say your name wrong. And it takes 2 seconds. And once they tell you how to say it, then you don't look like a schmomo when you're on the air.
Because I noticed there was another Houston one that people were saying that I was like, that doesn't, they were saying it different. It was, Gurriel. They were saying in the World Series, they were saying Gurriel, almost with an O at the beginning. I don't know if you noticed that. Maybe did you hear it, Nick?
No, I didn't notice that. You're talking about from like the national broadcast?
Yeah, they would say Yuli Gurriel instead of Gurriel, like most of us say.
Yeah, I did notice that. And a lot of people, some
I found
of them
that to be interesting.
Struggled with Yuli, too.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I mean, again, you're right syllables. There on the field with them. Just ask the question.
I was about to do something completely inappropriate. I'm glad I stopped myself. Let's get to text. Okay, so we got the Hugo Titans text. The defense sucks. Mariota turns the ball over. Can't do that.
Right.
And let's be real, they played a hell of a football team in the Steelers.
And we said, as long as Big Ben hasn't been performing to the level of Big Ben standards, but if Big Ben plays halfway decent with all the weapons
Tons
they have
weapons,
in their defense, they're hard to beat.
Nice for Antonio Brown to show up.
No, dude,
three
some
touchdowns
dude had like
showing
42
up.
Points in the fantasy league. And like
they tweeted out a picture. The guy that Nick's playing in one of the leagues had Antonio Brown. It's 42-0.
Yeah.
After Thursday, he's got one player go. And he's circled. And I was like, Nick, you're losing this week.
I'm 19-0 thanks to the Steelers kicker from Rice.
Nice.
Boswell.
Really?
Yep.
Ryan said Domino D is real. I work at the city jail and had to send a guy to the hospital because he was infected.
Ugh.
He also said that the prison he was at, they used a sharpened spoon to perform the operation.
Ugh. What do they stitch up the wound with?
I don't know. Maybe bubble gum. They just, you know.
Come on, MacGyver.
Use some gum.
That isn't exactly that's how infections happen, I guess.
Use a shoelace and tie it up.
All
I don't know.
Right.
Like
you putting laces on a football?
Like a pork butt. Just tie it up and I don't know. Mike said, I put a bumper from a 53 Mercury under mine. Idiot. All right. Here you go. So as part of Cuban culture, Cuban men put pearls and marbles in there to stimulate girls. Kind of like a ribbed condom.
What?
Parole officer here, and yes, the steel bearings in Texas, but they use steel bearings in Texas prisons, so not dominoes. Barry never used dominoes, but he did put Papa John's in there once. God, I hate you. I hate you guys. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman, yep, Cubans do pearls. It's called the Caribbean Pearl. Never heard of that. The Caribbean Pearl. I think I know what Nick's doing this weekend.
Yeah. Getting stitches.
Not doing that.
He's like, give me a spoon.
I don't want anything sharp near that area at all.
Give me a spoon. No.
I'm with you.
Needles? No thanks.
Nope.
None of that. Mandy said, my girls are 11, 10, and 7, and they still believe. Mandy, it's time.
In Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time.
Okay.
10?
Jeez.
My girls 11? Have asked if he isn't real, but I just ask them if they believe to avoid answering.
Oh, so some parents elongate the
Yeah, they're into it.
Yeah.
Like, my stepmom, I swear to God, if she wasn't an adult, she would probably, she would, if it wasn't like, if people wouldn't make fun of her, I think she would still believe in Santa Claus. She loves it that much. Like, she's still like, she'll try to, like, if we start drinking on Christmas, she'll try to have an argument with you that Santa might actually be real. And you're like, that's not, you can't argue that. It's not, you're drunk. Stop it. There's no way. She'll be like, you never know. No, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Like, there actually was, I mean, there obviously was a Saint Nick, Saint Nicholas, but he was the patron saint of a lot of other things, too. I looked it up. I'll find it at the break, but it was some weird things, like I think prostitution or something like that.
Saint Nick?
No, it wasn't, but it was something like that.
That Saint Nick?
He had a bunch of weird, yeah.
Instead of we renamed Nick Shirara Saint Nick.
Yeah, Saint Shirara, the patron saint of whores. That's what he is. Yeah.
It's definitely an FBF Friday.
there is a patron saint of like whores and venereal diseases, I'm pretty sure. I had wrote it. I was gonna write a bit about it for stage. I did the research. I'll find it. I'll find it. Before the show's over, we're gonna find the patron saint of whores, and it's not Saint Shirara. I promise.
Jeez.
Joel's like, man, none of this was on the rundown.
No.
It ain't my fault that people text the show with this stuff. What do you want me to do?
It is your fault it went this direction.
All right. Well, you know what? Fine. Somebody said let them find out on their own. Let them be little as long as possible. I'm with you. But at the same time, 10? Come on, man.
I'm going to say something. It's just different once you have a kid because you're trying to put that parallel between when you were that age, but now with kids, when they're getting – going to be that age, it's hard for me to fathom like what she's going to be like when she's 5, let alone 10. But I also know that there's going to be outside influences from all over the place that are probably going to take a lot of the control that I'd like to have over when she finds out away from me.
Well, you could also be like, well, baby, they're haters, and that's why, because they're probably on Santa's naughty list, and that's why they're
Good excuse.
That's a great answer.
Yeah,
but
Robert and Tomball said, I told my 4-year-old, and he said, yeah, I already knew. 4 years old.
Four?
Yeah. These kids grow up so fast.
He just screwed himself. He missed out a whole bunch of extra toys.
4 years old. And he already knows there's no Santa. That kid's going to lose his virginity when he's 6.
Not an inaccurate statement. But, Nick, let the record show.
Dude, nowadays, I'm so glad I don't have kids. They're so fast now.
I'll never in a million years have Barry on speed dial the first time I have a question on what to tell Taylor about anything. So
even though my answer was the best answer you've heard.
It was a great answer, but for every one of those, there's a domino D, and I can't risk that.
Uncle Barry would never talk to a kid about that. Come on now.
You've had one good answer out of the past 10.
You've not asked me any other questions about kids or how to handle it.
Okay, so from now on, we'll just go to you.
Throw it at me. What do you got? Let's
Joel,
go.
What are some of the struggles that you have at home?
Give me a parenting question or problem that I can solve for you. And I promise they won't all end in an ass whooping.
Baby yelling in an airplane. What are you going to do? You're going to smack that kid upside his head is what you're going to do.
No. No.
That's what you're going to do, Barry.
No. I don't hit kids. You get the little bottle of
cats.
Jack Daniels and you rub it on their gums. No, I'm just kidding. You don't do that. I mean, there's not much you can do because they don't know about the ear pressure and why it's doing
that.
Why
are you looking at me? He asked the question.
I'm not just talking to you. Do you not want me? You want me to ignore you?
I'm not going to turn around.
He needs you to bail him out.
No, I just said there's nothing you can do about a crying baby. You get up and walk up and down the aisle shaking them. Like, not shaking them, but like.
This is going nowhere fast.
Not shaking them, like rocking them in your arms. There's not much else you can do on an airplane.
Shaking them.
Yeah, don't shake the baby.
It's got brain damage now.
Don't shake the baby. That's not good. But you rock the baby in your arms while you walk him down the aisle, pat him on the back. There's nothing else you can do on an airplane.
Okay.
What's next?
Barry, so
yeah, that's what
I'm rocking
that was,
Taylor
nailed it.
Because
nailed it.
She cries when she doesn't want to go to bed.
Rum some Jack
so
Daniels
rock,
on her gums.
You rock her,
mm-hmm.
and then she normally falls asleep. But lately, when you get her to go to sleep, then you try and put her in the crib where normally she just continues to sleep. She will wake up. And the only way that she'll go back to sleep is if you rock her again. How do I get her out of that, and how do I get her to just go back to sleep?
Be honest. Have you ever used NyQuil, like adult NyQuil on her?
No.
Knock her ass out. Be honest.
Are you kidding me? You know, Lisa, come on.
So is the crib the kind that you can rock the crib, or is it stable?
We have a rocker next to the crib, so one of us has to rock her, and we can get her to go to sleep. Normally, then you just set her in the crib, and she goes to bed. Lately, the minute she goes – horizontal,
right,
she starts crying again.
So you probably, what you could do is as you're rocking her, stop rocking her, but don't put her in the crib yet.
I've done that.
And then if she wakes up, mm-hmm. then you can continue to rock her, and you're basically getting her used to you stopping that motion so that when you put her in the bed, she's used to it.
I love how Barry's taking this parenting advice role very seriously.
I'm trying to be. You know
what?
You
guys ask questions.
You guys always want me to be serious.
I think you're trying to say you want kids. I think that's what you're trying to say.
It's not as easy as dominoes, Chief.
But the other thing you could do, too, is put the crib in the other room. And then when you lay her in bed, you don't have to hear her crying. And you just close the door and you're done. That's what I would do.
That's actually pretty smart. That's what I would do.
She's going to be like, technology. Do you don't think that my wife's going to have like that room like Fort Knox with cameras?
Is it too a little old to have the kid in the room? Like, she should be in her own room. That's why she's not going to be 10 when she finds out.
Honestly, when I heard AJ talk about it the first time, I really didn't believe him. Like, I thought that was normal that a 2-year-old is in the same room.
Really?
Really.
Well, somebody actually texted the show the last time that it came up. They were like, 2? Our kid was out in like a month. Like, yeah, damn.
No, we're working on it. Grandma and grandpa are coming in for Thanksgiving. Joel's like, we're working on it.
But yeah, like just maybe put her in a dog bed and see what happens. Let the dog snuggle with her. Maybe
Joel hates AJ more than us right now. You know what I mean? Like he probably is like, God, I hate that AJ guy.
I'm just letting it all go. All right, still more advice with Barry to come as we continue to move on the Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday. We'll come back with a little bit more of the comedy of one Bill Hicks. We've got Nick Picks coming up at about 3:45. So we've got lots to get to, and of course, we'll still take your calls and participation. 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I was in Australia over Easter, which was interesting to note. They celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. I wonder why we're messed up as a race. Anybody got any clues? I've read the Bible. Can't find the word bunny or chocolate anywhere in the book. Why those two things? Why not, you know, goldfish left Lincoln logs in your sock drawer? You know, just making stuff up. Go hog wild. But I think it's interesting to note how people act on religious beliefs. You know what I mean? Like a lot of Christians wear crosses around their necks. Nice sentiment. But you think when Jesus comes back, he's really going to want to look at a cross? Ow. That may be why he hasn't shown up yet. Going, man, they're still wearing crosses, Dad. I'm not going. No. They totally missed the point. I'm not going. Forget it. I'll go back as a bunny. But,
More comedy from Bill Hicks on an FEF Friday when F stands for funny, as well as so many other things. And Barry gives a little bit of the backstory, but that dude is funny.
Yeah, Bill Hicks, man. One of the best to ever do it. You're getting some parenting advice on the text line. Some of it legit, some of it not.
Twitter, too, yeah.
I found this one to be the most interesting. Someone said, great new segment. Well, not this one. But somebody said, great new segment idea, parenting advice with Barry. That was from Chris. No, I don't think people are ready for that. Tell Joel to have her head tilted below her feet to where her head hits the crib first. Horizontal, all of a sudden, simulated vertigo or falling while she is sleeping.
See,
thank
got,
me later.
But we've got pillows. Two pillows in the one end so that she stays, her head stays slightly elevated because of the fact that she has congestion from frequently.
Yeah.
And it's just, someone else suggested the Ferber method, which is one I want to try, which Lisa's not very much for.
Just let
which
them cry
is
it
let
out.
Her cry it out. Yeah. And eventually she'll get used to it.
I think that's kind of like the, that's how a lot of kids learn how to swim. That's called the dad method. They just throw your ass in the pool and you swim or drown.
Man,
that's how you learn
how
to swim.
Kids, they threw us in the deep end at the pool.
Learn how to swim. You figure it out like a horse. Horses can swim. They'll figure
like
it out.
Panic mode.
Right.
Man.
Saint Nick Sharara is the patron saint of slutty fat Latina chicks. That is from
that was hilarious.
Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman added that.
They know you well, Nicholas.
Yeah, they do too well.
But I looked it up as I promised
you,
guys.
You get your stocking stuffers.
Yeah, I know.
On that deal.
Saint Fiacra. Saint Fiacra is the patron saint of medicine, gardeners, and venereal disease sufferers. Saint Fiacra.
Because every garden's got a hoe.
Yep. The other things that he's the patron saint of.
There's more?
Oh, yeah. They're all patron saints of a lot of things. He's also the patron saint of hemorrhoids.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, taxi cab drivers, box makers, florists, tile makers, and those suffering from infertility. Yeah, there's a patron saint for hemorrhoids. Wow. There you go. He's kind of my spirit animal there. That guy, he runs the gamut of things. Medicine, gardeners, and people with VD.
It definitely is covering the spectrum.
Yeah, I knew that was, I didn't think I made that up. It's not Saint Nicholas, but, you know.
Close.
It's whatever. Yeah. Saint Fiacre. Look it up.
Some of the news of the day. Michael Vick has reimbursed all the creditors in a rare debt payback. He has made the final $1.5 million payment to creditors on Thursday, meaning he's paid back $17.4 million of the $17.6 million that he owed when he filed for bankruptcy in 2008. Almost unheard of that people actually go out of their way to try and repay their debt like that. And
Michael, it really is.
And Michael Vick put up 17.4. Boy, that Fox money must be good.
What was the debt for?
For he declared bankruptcy. Plus,
oh, just to cover. But, so they didn't say specifically what it was?
Part of it was he had to pay back the Falcons for.
Oh.
When all that went down.
Because I was going to say, was it like houses, cars, failed businesses? It just says bankruptcy. Says
he elected to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy instead of Chapter 7, which would have allowed him to liquidate his assets and not owe anything more. Vic, who served 548 days in jail for taking part in the dogfighting ring, took the rare step of kicking in future income to pay off his creditors. He said, "I didn't want to stiff people who never stiffed me."
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah, in the five-year period from 2010 to 2014, in which he agreed to go on a restrictive budget to pay back his creditors, he earned nearly $50 million during four seasons with the Eagles and one with the Jets.
Damn.
Boy, he's turned it around. Final game in 2015 with the Steelers and now works for Fox Sports.
I got a lot of respect for somebody that'll do that. That'll say, you know what, I'm gonna pay it. I know I owe it. They never did anything to me. I'm going to pay them back.
So the Falcons were owed $6.5 million from his salary settlement negotiated in 2009. Less than 2 years later, the Falcons sold that liability to the investment firm co-founded by Milwaukee Bucks co-owner Wesley Edens. What they paid for in hopes of getting the $6.5 million back is unclear, but as of the transaction submitted to the court, doesn't disclose the amount, but is assumed that they bought it at a significant discount, but it seems like he paid it all off.
That's pretty good.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like seeing stuff like that. That's good that people, you know, because he didn't necessarily have to, I guess.
Well, like you said, if you file Chapter 7, you just walk away from it.
Yeah.
And leave a lot of people hanging.
Well, that's cool. Good for him.
So
does that give you a bit of redemption? Does he get a bit of redemption in your eyes?
Because I think that there's a lot of people that still aren't going to, but I mean, he's trying.
Well, but here's the thing.
At least he's making an effort.
The thing, I think that people will... You always hear, so those that are anti-Mike Vick because of what he did are really quick to dismiss him and never give him another opportunity. And I understand why. But at some point, I'm willing to bet you that those are the same people when it comes to something that maybe happened to them or a family member or somebody that they're passionate about would be very quick to say, everyone makes a mistake,
everybody
and everyone
a
deserves
chance.
A second chance. And yes, everyone deserves a second chance, and a lot of times you have to earn that second chance. And I think in the case of Mike Vick, maybe that's what he's doing. He's saying, you know what? I'm going. Ray Rice, another example, a guy who made a huge mistake, and there's no going back and there's no explaining what he did. But from a guy who sunk to the depth that he sunk to by his own fault, he still tried to make every effort to earn that second chance by doing the things that he did after the incident.
I think a lot of people are going to see Mike Vick and think, hey, he's trying, and give him credit. I think especially from an animal perspective, there are people that are never going to forgive him no matter what he does.
Yep.
And that's just the way
Lisa.
It is. And that is one of those
She's
people.
One of them. You probably, I get it.
It's just difficult. It's hard. And, you know, and you see it from a different perspective too. But, I mean, you know.
But I think you have to, like, because, I mean, I love animals, and I think what he did is deplorable and horrible and everything else. But if I'm going to give a guy a second chance, it's a guy like that he didn't murder anybody. He didn't murder a human. I know he did what he did to the dogs wasn't right. But does he deserve a second chance? Does everybody deserve a second chance? Because that, to me, was interesting.
That's the bigger question.
I don't think so. I don't think some people deserve a second chance. And I'm not going to go into specifics of who does and who doesn't. But if you've got a guy out there that's trying to make it right, I tend to give them favor. You know what I mean?
For at least making the effort. Because a lot of guys can just say, screw it.
Yep.
And just mail it in.
Yeah. Especially somebody with the kind of money that he has and in the position that he's in. So
no question about
good
it.
Good for him.
Other than that, I know you're saddened by the news that Danica Patrick is going to call it a career. She's going to race Daytona and Indy 500 before retirement.
Well, at least she was able to become the first. I don't think she ever won a race, did she?
She came close a couple times.
Well, that's great.
Okay.
I mean, close
isn't
winning.
NFL is going to investigate this Jameis Winston Uber driver groping incident, as he says he says the accusation is false.
Okay.
So
talk about second and third chances. There's a guy that's gotten them.
Well, we talked about that already.
Yeah. Brother Bear said, do you think Michael Vick did the domino thing in prison? I don't know. Who knows?
Oh boy.
Dustin on Twitter asked me, Barry, are you going to be in the Come and Take It Comedy Festival this weekend? No, I'm not. Nope.
I was going to ask you because Billy D. Washington put something up there. There's a big deal in Houston coming up. With the whole, and he was lit. He had like a graphic with all the names listed.
Is it
one
black and white, and it's got like a looks like a cannon,
I was looking for your name, and I was wondering if you were going to be involved in that.
No. Okay. And we'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
I won't go into.
I didn't mean to do that.
No. It's fine. It's just comedy is very cliquish, and sometimes you get work because you've earned it, and sometimes you don't get work because you're not tight with the people that are providing the work. So it's not merit based. But no, that festival, they tend to keep it kind of in-house with their crew that they run. And it's a great festival. I'm not telling you not to go. That's just why I won't be on it.
Gotcha. All right, we got a half hour to go on the big show. We're going to take a quick break. We got Nick Picks coming up in a final segment. We've got a couple of more things that we can touch on. And, of course, if you want to chime into the show, HR&P Listener Line, you guys do a great job each and every day with that. 713-780-3776. Text, call, or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, final half hour of the week and the show as we get ready to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. It's been another great week here as we continue to build and grow as we go and have a lot of fun in the process. We had talked a little basketball earlier in the show, and I wanted to see what you guys thought. After a while, I guess, even the announcers, when you're around a team that's really good, like the Patriots, the Spurs, now the Warriors, it seems that people get pretty full of themselves and believe like they're like a cut above. But I say that I've got good friends that are with the Golden State Warriors. The radio guy, Tim Roy, is great. And he put his two rings on Twitter the other day and said, I never thought I'd get one, let alone two. And I thought, man, that was really humble. It's really cool. I'm really happy for you. And then I heard the Golden State TV guys last night, and I was like, okay, guys, slow your roll. I know you're the Warriors, and you got some guys that can shoot the ball, but now they're taking shots at Lonzo Ball. Klay Thompson shot a ball last night that Craig and I would affectionately say got caught in the crotch between the backboard and the side of the rim, and it got stuck up there. And Dave Barnett, who played back in the day, wasn't exactly kind to Lonzo Ball in his commentary. It sounded a little something like this.
I wouldn't expect this from Klay Thompson at all.
And if you're ever wondering, you get a jump ball again.
I would expect it from that young man named Ball who plays for the Lakers. I'm serious. I'm watching the game last night. He had about eight of those.
Lonzo Ball is struggling to shoot the ball.
Oh, my gosh. But they're not even close.
I mean, go ahead and throw major shade and then step on the guy. I mean, we all can't be Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But easy, Dave.
Not very nice.
It's a bit harsh.
I mean,
I'm watching Lonzo the other night, eight or nine of those. I'm sure the ball didn't get caught in the crotch eight or nine times.
You think he's going to come back and be like, look, I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address like Deion did to, what's his name? To a Tony Romo.
But he is definitely that old school.
But he speaks the truth.
Yeah, he's got the big, bushy mustache.
It's an ugly ass shot. What do you expect?
It really is.
I mean,
and, you know, a lot of comparisons between Ball and Jason Kidd. And, you know, the big difference is Jason Kidd went to Tim Gergovich, the guru assistant coach in both college and professional. It was Jerry Tarkanian's longtime assistant, and spent hours upon hours fixing his jump shot. Gary Payton did the same thing with Gergovich so that they could shoot. His mechanics are so off that you would literally, it would be tough to retrain a guy because your muscle memory has you bringing the ball to the one side of your head, to the other side of your, you know, to your head, then trying to.
Right.
That'd be a hell of a process.
I was trying to remember who it was. He used to play for the Suns. He had an ugly, Sean Marion.
Sean Marion had like a knuckleball free throw.
He had an ugly shot.
It was like a volleyball set.
There was no, like, usually you're at the top, you know what I mean? And his was almost out. It was more horizontal than it was vertical, the way he shot the ball. But he made it work for him.
Oh, yeah.
Very flat, but it was a super ugly shot. But it wasn't, mechanically, it wasn't sound, but it wasn't as bad or as broken as ball shot is, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Payton used to have this, like, right at the peak of before he let the ball go, he would snap his head back real quick, like almost like he had Tourette syndrome.
Like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf?
Yeah, and it was, like, really bad, and it took forever for them to work it out. But he spent, like, hours in the gym in the offseason just to try and get rid of it.
Prettiest stroke ever. Prettiest shot.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple that come to mind right away.
Can you only pick one?
Man, really?
Yep.
One?
Nick, you too. Can only
is
pick
Ray
one.
Ray Allen up there?
Yeah, I was going to say Ray Allen. Ray Allen's going to be my
Ray Allen's my number one.
Yeah.
I think Steph Curry might be second, but Ray Allen number one.
But Curry's more that kind of from the chest, and it's kind of a flick, whereas Ray has the ultimate elbow
like if you
in,
were
the finish
with your
hand in the cookie jar.
I mean, he's my pick, but I always feel like Steph had a pretty nice stroke.
I'll give you two others that are in the discussion, and one of them is Chris Mullin. Because he had that same kind of hand in the cookie jar.
Won't
in the
be
rotation.
Bird.
No, and the other one is Steve Nash.
Nash had a good shot?
Steve Nash.
You think so?
The two.
It doesn't stand out to me.
We used to argue on the air about this. Craig and I would go back and forth. Craig said Nash. I said Ray Allen. Best shooter of all time simply because the gold standard is 90% from the free throw line, 40% from 50% from the field, 40% from three.
Okay.
And those are the two closest. And I just didn't see Nash, although I know from the free throw line, but I just thought Ray overall was my vote. He always said Steve Nash.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have added Nash.
If you look at his numbers, they're pretty much right on that standard.
But is that because of he got that run in Phoenix? Because are they like that everywhere or just Phoenix?
No, his career numbers are from the free throw line, from 3-point range, and from the field. And you think about it as a point guard, he gets a lot of layups too, so his field goal percentage is going to be rather high.
Okay.
But yeah, those are two guys mentioned. But yeah, I think definitely Ray Allen and Mully was left-handed too, so I always watched him growing up, but his stroke was pretty.
Yeah. Lamont said Barbosa's shot was pretty ugly too.
I don't really recall his shot. I mean, Jamal Wilkes was the one where we used to call it around the world, where he'd bring it up on one side and spin it on the other.
Oh, I remember World Be Free's shot. You remember his?
World Be Free was another one.
He had the highest arcing shot maybe ever.
But he had both. You know how they always say elbow in on your jump shot? He had both elbows up at the ceiling when he let that thing go.
There was a guy that I played. It was the 3-point hook shot era of basketball for me. This dude named Hit Paul Singh. And he used to shoot the ball like he was setting a volleyball. He would put two hands under it, almost like he was, you know, making a diamond, like Rockefeller. And he would shoot it straight up. But he was deadly accurate.
But essentially, that's what Sean Marion did, too.
Marion's was out. Not up, but out. This dude, it was a World Be Free kind of arc, but he had two hands under the ball like he was setting a volleyball for someone to spike it. It was the weirdest looking shot. But he was deadly.
Old school Rockets fans will remember the name Purvis Short.
Yep.
Purvis Short was the guy that really made a name for himself for how high an arc he had on his shot. And he said when he was growing up that his coach used to defend him with a broom handle and make him shoot over the broom. And so in order to get the ball to the basket and get it blocked, he had to shoot it over the broom. He had to shoot it real high with a high arc. But he had a pretty good shot, and his was very high arc.
Didn't World Be Freeze? Wasn't his higher, though?
I don't know if it was higher.
I would have. I thought for sure it was the highest shot that I've ever seen, like from a natural shot perspective, like day in and day out. I mean, you'll see like Bird.
Can we get John Brinkus on the phone from ESPN to see if we can get some sports science and see whose shot was higher? Can we break this down? We had him on the show after all. He's a friend of the show, so we can probably get him on anytime.
Super, super smooth, friendly.
All right, Marcus wants to get in here real quick and talk about Prettiest Shot. What's up?
Hey, what up, fellas? What up, fellas? Hey, real quick, man. Joe, you're going to notice a lot more. I'm younger. I'm 31, so I don't know all the older guys, but one of the prettiest shots I've ever seen, Allen Houston used to have a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
You guys ever watched him play? Allen Houston's shot was beautiful. As far as mechanics, making sure that you go straight up and down, you know, finish where you left off, shot is, like, perfect. Also, right now, Bradley Beal's shot is probably the prettiest shot in the game right now as far as the exact same thing, mechanics and everything. And last thing I'm going to leave you guys with, one of the best shot, best shooters to ever play had the ugliest shot, Reggie Miller.
True.
Horrible. It was, if your coach taught you to shoot that way, he was trying to, he didn't want you to play.
That's a great point, Marcus.
So, Alonzo Ball has a chance. It's not like he was a horrible shooter in college. He just can't make nothing right now. So he has a chance. All right, guys. Y'all have a good,
good
day.
Call, Marcus. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate the call. That was good stuff. Yeah, Reggie Miller's definitely a great call.
Yeah.
Because that was like a volleyball set and a jackknife with your body, and then he'd frog leg his legs out at the end. And
but boy, oh, man, some of those battles he had.
Oh, that Knicks.
That dude.
I know everybody remembers Tracy McGrady's
13 points
barrage,
against the
13 and 36.
San Antonio Spurs.
But I'm telling you right now, Reggie Miller to come back in a playoff, beat the Knicks like that. Was just crazy.
Did you guys ever see that video of like Team USA and it was like Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins and they're all just talking crap about their shots? You ever see that?
No.
Like DeMarcus Cousins was going at Paul George and Paul George was like, I hate your shot. And it was pretty funny.
I'll have to check that out.
Somebody's saying, Joel's right for once. It's World Be or Purvis Short had the high arcing shot, not World Be Free. I thought World Be Free's was up there too.
Aside from the for once, thank you very much.
Yeah, I know.
Appreciate that.
I didn't write the tweet. I just read them.
Yeah.
All right.
I noticed I didn't get it, but all right.
I think you did. He tagged you on it.
Oh, Nestor. Well, then, okay, with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
Him. All right, so we've got one segment to go. It's Nick Picks, and it's coming up next. We'll pick our take our shots at college and pro. And no, we don't take just the favorites. AJ, stick to your podcast.
I'm picking all favorites. Could you tell me who the favorite is and just write that down as my pick?
Cool.
Just kidding.
Back in a GIF for one final segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. All right, back for the final segment of the Usual Suspects. Before we get to Nick Picks, we don't want to let any of you guys hanging. So we've got a couple of people who want to get in here as quick as possible because we got to get to the picks. Chad, you want to get in here on former Rocket player. What's up?
Yeah.
Go.
Hello?
Go, go, go. Last segment, man. We got to hurry. Go.
Go, Chad.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, I got really excited when I heard the Purvis Short and the jump shot.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful rainbow jumper. I used to actually model my jump shot after him. I'm 42, and so that was back when I started playing in eighth grade. And kids today, when they start talking about their jump shot, I teach high school. I tell them to go look at film of Purvis Short. Incredible rainbow jumper.
Were you a good shooter?
Comment on that.
Were you a good shooter because of it?
Yes, incredible. I actually had a lot of comments on my jump shot because of it. When I was in eighth grade, I was shorter than the other kids. And so I would elevate, and my jump, my shot was were very high arcing shot, and it would fall in. And, yeah, so, yeah, it was
nice.
Huge. Like, yeah, I was excited when I heard that. And so I didn't hear anybody else have that type of commentary before, and so that was kind of like something personal to me. And so when I heard it, I got excited. I wanted to call in and comment.
Appreciate the call, Chad.
D, what's up?
Hey, yeah, hey, man, you know, the young caller, man, must have been reading my mind. Allen Houston probably had the prettiest shot ever. He was also the son of a coach. And another guy back from that era, probably around the same age, was Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice had a hell of a shot and a beautiful shot as well.
Glenn Rice didn't need a whole lot of arm extension either. His was all just wrist.
Yeah, Glenn Rice had a really nice shot.
Yeah.
He had a really nice shot.
Did he say he was a celibate coach?
I think I didn't want to say anything.
The hell is a
celibate
coach?
Allen Houston's a very religious man, though. I know that.
Oh, he would coach men on being celibate? Like, really?
Well, you know, the one about
I know AC Green, was, right?
Yeah. And then he married an ex-Rockets power dancer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if they're still there.
He's like, I'm going to get it in. Getting it in.
Easy now. All right, Nick, it's about the time to strike up the band and get into some Nick picks.
Cool. We're going to start with college as usual.
Okay.
All right, TCU.
Michigan.
we'll get to that's funny, dude.
We'll get to that game next.
Damn it.
TCU at Texas Tech, +6 for Texas Tech at home. What do you got?
TCU.
Yeah,
I agree.
Is anybody picking Texas Tech?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think if you are, you're not paying attention to college football.
Does Kingsbury keep his job?
Now watch, they're going to lose.
Does Cliff Kingsbury keep his job?
No. No.
I think he might be one of the
first guys fired.
I've got a huge A&M fan that's just dying to have him as one of the coaches at Texas A&M potentially.
This could be the Granato curse. I think every coach that's on the air, with the exception of Dana Helgerson, might be on the hot seat this year.
Yeah, you might be right.
All right, so we all agree on TCU. Let's move on to Joel's favorite game of the week, Michigan at Wisconsin. And we were talking about how Michigan could be the team to give Wisconsin its first loss, but -7.5 at home for Wisconsin. Joel, who do you have?
I said it's either this week or the Big Ten championship game, but I will, for loyalty's sake, I think if I'm doing with the points, I'm taking Michigan in the points, but I think if we're just picking the game, I'll take Wisconsin.
You're taking Michigan in 7.5 against the number 5 team in the country.
I am. I'm telling you, they're not as good as I've told you this all year.
You know what? I think you're full of it. I think you're doing the reverse jinx thing. But I'm with you, and I think Wisconsin wins this game. And I don't think it's going to be as close as you're trying to make it out to be.
I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Nick? I think it's going to be an upset. I'm going to go Michigan on this one.
Okay.
All right, Virginia at Miami, -18.5 Miami at home.
I don't even know if that's enough, but I'll take Miami. Yeah, that Miami defense.
I'm calling
it. And they're going to make another
kick you off the show.
Every game is a statement game for them now to validate where they are. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm calling Miami as well. So we all agree on TCU, and we all agree on Miami.
Yep.
All right, last college football game, Texas at West Virginia, -3 at home for West Virginia, essentially a pick 'em.
The aforementioned Dana Holgerson will win and maintain his lock on his job. They will beat the Longhorns.
He's going to avoid the Granato curse.
Yes. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I think it's a close game, but I'll go West Virginia as well.
I will go West Virginia as well on that.
Look at us. So the only differentiator pick is you and Michigan.
Yeah. Way to go, Nick. All right, let's roll to the NFL.
All right, NFL, the Rams at the Vikings, -2.5 for Minnesota at home.
Wow. That's a good game. And I never thought I'd say that.
Both 7-2
playing. Yeah.
Both good defenses.
Yep.
Rams playing well
Case
on the
Keenum
road.
Keenum
versus
Goff. The Vikings.
Yeah, I know.
When I look at the weapons, I say advantage Rams, but I will say at Minnesota in that environment, home field advantage means something. I'm going to take the Vikings at home.
Okay. Nick?
I'm going to take the Vikings at home, too. I don't think Case Keenum is ready to go to an environment like Minnesota on the road, but you never know.
He plays for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Goff is ready for the Minnesota.
I'm going to take the Rams, and for two reasons. One, I think Wade Phillips is familiar with Case Keenum. I think that comes crashing back down to earth for Case Keenum. And the Rams, don't sleep on them. They play well on the road. Half of their home games are like road games.
I
don't think that's going to bother them. So
I hope the hell the Rams win.
I'm taking the Rams.
Because week 15's coming, baby.
All right. Well, I've picked them for you. So there you go.
Appreciate it.
I like how you're excited like the Packers are still in it.
They are, in my mind. Leave me alone.
He's like, please, if the Vikings lose, then maybe no.
That's right.
No.
All right,
we'll see.
Philadelphia at Dallas. Dallas Cowboys +4.5 at home.
I got the Eagles.
No explanation needed?
We talked about it earlier, but look, I like the home field in Dallas.
Tyron Smith is possibly out.
Yeah, between the offensive line and
Ezekiel
Elliott, Zeke, I'm taking
no
the
Sean Lee.
That's huge, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know anybody in their right mind. But you know what?
Nick Sciarra.
It's the NFL, and anything can happen, but I'm still taking the Phillies.
Nick's trying to make up to the 409. Watch this.
I mean the Phillies, the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Atlanta at Seattle. -3 at home.
Another good game, man. But I think Atlanta needs this more. And they're starting to get on the uptick. They're on turf. I know it's a tough
no
place
Devontae
to play.
No Devontae Freeman, though, for the Falcons.
Yeah, I understand.
Tevin Coleman's going to get the bulk of the carries.
No
Is
running
he ready?
Game period for Seattle, by the way, other than Russell Wilson.
And the banged-up secondary. Sherman gone.
I'm looking at Earl Thomas as questionable and Sherman out for the year. I'll take Atlanta.
Dwayne Brown's also questionable for the Seahawks.
Who? Oh.
Yeah. So you're going to what'd you say?
Atlanta. I'm taking Atlanta.
You going to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Nick, where
Seattle
you going?
At home.
You take a Seattle?
Yep.
All right. I got the Falcons as well.
Nick, you want to make a couple wagers on the side?
Boy.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
All right. Patriots at Oakland. The Raiders +7 at home.
They're not at home.
Before you pick,
They're not at home.
They're in Mexico City.
Okay.
Let me give you the weirdest stat that you may hear all year. What week are we in? Week 11?
Yeah.
Through 11 weeks, the Raiders don't have an interception.
Really?
Yeah. The defense
has
not.
Even when Carr was out?
No, no, no. Their defense does not have an interception through 11 weeks.
Wow.
And you're facing maybe the best passing attack statistically in the NFL with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, this one's tricky because it's in Mexico City, so it's not really a Raiders home game, but I'll take the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots just because of the two things I just mentioned.
Yeah, I got it. I'm not picking against the Patriots in this game. I'm definitely picking the Patriots. All right, last game. This is right here in Houston. The Arizona Cardinals coming to town. The Texans -1.5 at home, according to CBS Sports.
Man, I'll tell you what. Strictly on emotion and the fact that a third-string quarterback from the Cardinals is taking on, I don't know what string quarterback from the Texans, but I kind of just have a feeling on this one. I'm going to take the Texans.
You're taking the Texans.
I am.
Okay. I think the keys to me are the Texans can't get behind, obviously, and they've got to run the ball and continue to run the ball. Blaine Gabbert is going to play. Texans defense is bad right now, especially that secondary. Second most points in the NFL. They're
Blaine
giving
Gabbert,
up.
Bro.
I know. Cards don't defend the pass well. Can't stop the run. That's what the Texans want to do. If it was I would be more optimistic for this team, obviously, if they were healthy. I will pick the Texans, though, 17-16.
I'm going to pick the Texans as well. I mean, what are they, like 2-6 or 2-7 on the road, Arizona? They're not really good road team. So I'm going to pick the Texans just based on that.
Yeah,
so we're all picking the Texans. I feel like something happened to this show. That's weird.
It happened right about the time you mentioned Domino's. All right. And we're not talking pizza.
Yeah, so you guys think it's close? I know the spread is 1.5.
Yeah, I think it's a 3-point game.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's close.
Okay.
Like 13-10.
13-10? Yeah. All right.
All right. Good week, boys. Another good one in the books as we wrap things up. Wish you guys all the best of weekends, and we'll turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They're next right here on ESPN 97.5.